You are listening to the Riverside Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.riversideconnect.org.
Today I am very pleased to introduce to you our guest speaker, Jay Mitlow. I've known Jay for many years. When I moved to Penn Hills, Jay was a volunteer in Young Life in the Penn Hills community, and then he became the director, the leader of the Young Life in Penn Hills, and then he became the director of Young Life for the Pittsburgh metro area, and got married, had three kids. My, we're getting old, Jay. And Jay has, as you read in your bulletin, if you've read that introduction, Jay and Rachel, a little over a year ago, on Christmas Eve, got news that has shaken their world, and like every parent, I think we face sometimes these events where we think, how could we ever go through something like this? And watching him and Rachel with the people that have gathered around them to help them go through this has been a learning experience for me. And I think an experience that all of us can learn from. Please would you give a nice warm welcome to Jay Mitlow. And Rachel, good to see you with us today too.
Good morning. Let me get situated here. Sorry. Did you notice Pastor Bill said we're getting old? Okay. That's fine. Good deal. Yeah. I put my there. My notes. Hey, I have to start today's message off with a confession. I think it's good to be open, honest, and real. And that is simply this. I am a sermon sleeper. Okay? When the sermon starts, Jay goes nigh-nigh. Okay? I've done the take one shoe off because that keeps you awake. No, it doesn't. I've done the I'm just praying. You know? All those things. And certainly, Bill knows that as much as anybody. I've spent some time here and I've apologized after many a sermon, you know, like, I'm sorry, I got it. So what I say is, if you today struggle with that like I did, and like I do, go ahead. It's okay. Just go. Just go. Don't pretend. Don't do the turkey nut, you know. It's okay. If God is calling you, take a little nipper, a little nine-nine, you do it. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. But, as Pastor Ellis has certainly pointed out, awkward transitions of transitions, you know, it has been an amazing time for us. December 24th, 2010, Merry Christmas, Jay and Rachel, your youngest child, has neuroblastoma. And it was an unbelievable moment that you hope and pray that you'll never go through, and we were in the middle of it. And it hits you like a ton of bricks, and you don't know what to do. And very early on, you know, it was either Richard Foster in his book Prayer, or my friend who I eat wings with, Ryan Lowe, who said, I was thinking and praying. And then he said, more thinking than praying. But I was thinking, well, Which is more likely to bring glory to God? That if Trey miraculously is healed, and we can tell the world how good and awesome God is, or if he is not healed, and we remain faithful. And my prayer was that was just self-doubt. That was doubt. That was pessimism creeping in. You see, when he was diagnosed, the doctor said he has a 65% chance of being alive and cancer-free in 5 years. Well, now after 8 surgeries, after 14 rounds of chemo, 9 hospital admissions, over 20 tests and scans, we have found out, according to the doctors, that he will fall into that 35% range. and that only the treatment that we give now will be for the quality of his life, not for the cure. And before we go further, there are those of you who say, but Jay, God can do great and amazing things. I will tell you two things. One, yes, you are right. And as sure as we stand here today and he is downstairs, he could be healed. We know this to be true. The centurion said, you say it, it'll be done. But I want you to know that we have more of a Shadrach faith. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be thrown into the fire. And their response was, my God can save me. But even if he doesn't, I will still praise him. You see that? God can heal Trey. But if he doesn't, well, we're still going to praise him. And so there, we have this child, and he has cancer. And my fear is that it'll bring God more glory if he doesn't make it. Well, shortly thereafter, God very much put on my heart, are you guys hearing the same echo I am? Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm good, so maybe you can just get to hear me twice, once live, once on the echo. That's how good I am. And humble. But possibly the most famous scripture verse, John 3:16, shows you how biblically diverse I am, that's what God puts on my heart. Nothing from Ecclesiastes or anything like that. Habakkuk. No, I get John 3:16 put on my heart. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son. And I said, if I'm going to be in ministry for 14 years, and I am going to talk the talk, and that God may require one of my two, who am I to say no? It's not my job. I can't do it. I can't withhold from him what he may require. And so we said, if God is going to allow this, we have to be open, honest, and vulnerable, because in that, God will use this. And so we began the Facebook page, which everybody likes to do. You know, and for those of you who know that Facebook is of the devil, we also signed up with caringbridge.org, which is a lighter version that the enemy hasn't found out about yet. And so you can clandestinely, I think I can say that, just go there and search Trey Mitlow. And we began to just tell our story. And we found out one thing first, and that is that perspective is highly overrated. You see, as I stand here today, and you sit there, my prayer is that you don't walk away saying, I can't believe he could do that. God bless Jay and Rachel for what they're going through. But you can feel that. That's fine. But you see, God has something for you this very morning. Something that he is going to impress upon your heart, that he is going to gently whisper into your ear, specifically in regards to your life. And so I don't want you to get caught up in our story. I don't want you to have pity on us, but rather seek him. Many people early on would comment on our page and say, Jay, you have given us great perspective. Seeing what you're going through has put my life into perspective. And I will tell you that I find perspective to be greatly overrated. From the very simple, when people would say to me, Jay, I don't get as angry with my kids anymore. Really? Because I do. So God has blessed you through me, but left me out of the loop. Because I still can rip off a good delicious umbrella. You know, when nobody knows what you're talking about, but fortunately the kids are scared and they know that something's wrong. Whether it's that, or whether it's something serious like the loss of a loved one. God bless Dave Kennard. Just loses his mother. Do you think he He looked at us and he said, well, I mean, you know, Jay and Rachel's son has cancer, so I don't miss my mom so much. No. No. It just helps you. It helps you love somebody else. Perspective is way overrated. So as we began to be open and honest, we found something else to be very, very true. The first thing is we weren't alone. Only once did I feel alone. You see, we had been overwhelmed with the response from people close, very far, saying that they were going to be praying for us and what could we do. And some friends would come alongside us literally by the hand and said, here's what we're going to do. We had realized very early on that we weren't alone. And in fact, one day I got a friend request on Facebook from a missionary in India. His name's Amol. And he said, I want you to know I've mobilized our churches in India to pray for your son. And our orphans are praying and fasting for him on Wednesdays. My boy. No, I wasn't alone. But one night I felt alone. Late at night, Rachel and Trey are in the hospital. I put Joe and Bella to bed, and I'm catching up on Facebook. And by mistake, I watched a Chris Tomlin video. I don't watch a lot of Chris Tomlin. I don't watch a lot of Christian video. I'm not a big Christian music guy. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say that. Okay? But it was, our God is an awesome God. And the tears start just falling down my face. And I feel as if I'm the only person on earth. And I don't feel that connected to God in this moment. And then, bloop, on my computer, I get an instant message. From my neighbor? No. From my brother? No. No, from India. A guy who had become my friend 8 hours earlier. Amol Paraji. And it said one word. It was an instant message. Said shalom. You see, God said to me, you are not alone. I'll go to India and send one to make you understand peace. And then my tears changed from sadness to an intimacy with the God who created me, knowing at that point I was not going to be alone. But the other thing we realized, many, many people were. Many people did not have the support that we had for whatever reason in their life. And my heart began to break in many pieces. People would stop me in the grocery store and say, Jay, months ago, my mother had a stroke. And by the way, we don't know each other. But I'm on your page and I want you to know that for months, the only thing that got me through was when you or Rachel would post. I used to pray that you guys would post so that I had something to go on the next day as I sat by my mother's bedside. There were so many people who were alone. And really, it shouldn't be a shock because God had prepared me for that message even before Trey was diagnosed. It's something I've been very passionate about is being alone. Because you see, it was man's first problem. It was God's first problem. Go back through Genesis 2. Read how God put together the world. He built this. It was good. He created the heavens. Good. The earth. Good. The water. Good. The expanse, which I still don't know what that is. But it was good. And he created man. He created Adam. And it was not good. Why? Because he was alone. What did Adam have going for him at this point? Guess what? Every need was met. He had everything. From food, water, shelter, status, a cush job, name in the stuff, good place to live, the garden. And you know what else he had? A walking, talking relationship. Unbroken by sin at this point. A walking, talking relationship with the God of all creation. And yet, he was alone. How many of you have heard a brother or a sister in Christ through a tough time say, everybody's against me, but I have my Jesus and that's all I need? Really? Are you better than a pre-fallen Adam? Because that's what you're saying you are. And how does God fix that problem? Does he say, you know, I really need to spend more time with Adam. He's feeling lonely these days. Does Adam say, I need to spend more time with Jesus. I'm screwing up. I feel lonely. It must be my fault. No. God gives him a relationship through Eve. That's how significant relationships are in our world. It is the primary way that God will keep you from feeling what? Alone. Relationships. And you're not alone. Oh, you may feel alone in your suffering. You may feel alone in your sin, like you're the only one. As Christians, we condition ourselves to be alone in our sin because we can't tell another Christian that we have this sin because that looks bad. We won't be a very good Christian. Well, you can't tell a non-Christian because that's a bad witness. So what do? You hide it. You keep it inside. You end up what? Alone. And then you open the door for shame and condemnation, and before you know it, you're just sitting in a pew angry about the color of the carpet. You can be alone in your suffering. You can feel alone in your sin. And really, my heart breaks if you're alone in your salvation. Now, if that's the case, you're probably not here this morning. But so many of us, you come to know Christ and nobody else in your family knows the Lord. None of your friends do. Well, that's a lonely place. And there are even more who, not even more, but there are some who are alone in their success. You've done great. You've done wonderful. And you look around and you go, so? Or you've done so well, you can't tell people because that's bragging. Nobody's happy for you because you're the one with money. But you don't have to be alone. You see, non-Christians, all those sinners that Jesus hung out with that we are so much better than, tongue in cheek, they get it. You go to a bar, what are they doing? They're talking about how crappy their life is. There's nobody there who's like, oh, well, let me tell you. No. They're like, wow, dude, that's terrible. All right. They get it. They're invested in each other's lives. They're not worried about their witness. They're worried about their brother, their friend, their drinking partner. He probably pays more. I don't know, but they actually care about him and they're just open and honest. And if you want to not be alone, it's the first thing you're going to have to do is be open and honest and vulnerable. And hear me now. Place your faith in God. Ask us about faith. I know that God knows my needs. He knows Trey. He loves Trey more than I could ever imagine. I have to trust that he knows what's best, and it's my job to react appropriately and be open and honest with him, but that he is going to meet my needs. And you have to give faith in God, have faith in God, and know that he will meet your need to not be alone. Because you're going to say to me, Jay, I was open and honest once. Didn't turn out well. Well, you might have chosen the wrong person to be open and honest with. But there's another. You only have two choices at that point. One, clam up and become bitter. And please don't do that. God has too much for you. Or you can try again. I speak on behalf of this church. Someone here will love you. Talk to me. Talk to Rachel. We will love you. Because God will put somebody in your life to love you. Allow me very quickly to speak on behalf of the alone. Helping somebody not feel alone is not identifying with them. Oh, I know just what you're going through. I know just how you feel. I don't care if you've gone through what we're going through. You don't know how I feel. Please don't say that. Okay? I'm just going to be real for a minute here. Everything else I've said is fake. I have no idea who that woman is. It's not identifying. It isn't. Okay? It's not even encouraging. Another confession. I'm a recovering jerk. Shocker. I used to be a real jerk. And then I became super encouraging. But I skipped comforting. I skipped helping people not feel alone. I went right to encouraging. And I would say, attaboy, you're going to be fine. Attagirl, this, that, and the other thing. But that's to say to someone, don't feel bad, be encouraged. When they need someone to say, I'm sorry things have happened that have left you feeling bad. And lastly, someone who is alone, they don't need direction. Oh, it's okay. So-and-so went through this, and they're okay now. Oh, really? I did. I had somebody say to me, I know somebody whose son had neuroblastoma, and they're fine now. And I went, huh. Well, good for them. My kid's different. We'll see. Don't give them direction. Don't hand them a book. Okay? Seriously, I dare you. Give me why do bad things happen to good people. See if I don't hit you with it. And then I'll ask, now why did that happen to you? Weird, huh? And there's a time and a place for it, but please don't send somebody who feels alone scripture that says you're not alone. Guess what? Now I'm alone and now I really, really feel alone. Oh, I'm alone and I'm a bad Christian? Great, great. That's awesome. Okay? If you suffer, by the way, you become sarcastic. Glad I'm not. But the point is, scripture is God's word to us. And in a gentle moment, in the right time, maybe even after they've asked for direction into the Bible, it's a good thing. But just to hit them over the head with it and fly by and keep on moving, that's not it. You'll leave them feeling more alone. Please don't do that. Okay, but you say, Jay, now I'm paranoid. I'm never going to speak to a hurting person. I don't want to speak with you. That's clear. What do I do? I will tell you this. Let's look to Jesus, shall we? Look to Jesus. Every time he saw somebody that was suffering, what did he do? He was with them. He was with them. He spent time with the sinners. The woman caught in adultery, what did he do? He came up and he was with her. He put his arm around her. The lepers, what did he do? He touched them. He was with them. He was simply in their presence. And I want to look at something very specifically today. John chapter 11. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. They're good buddies. It's not written that way, but that's what you can get. And there was Mary and Martha, the sisters, often used in contrast with their response to Jesus. Well, that's Lazarus' sisters. Lazarus gets sick. They send word. Notice that. They sent word to Jesus. The one you love is sick. Please, do what you can. The centurion that I spoke of earlier had a servant who was sick. He went to Jesus. Others went to Jesus. Here, they just send word. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to take care of him, but I'm going to wait a little bit first. And we pick up the story. He finally goes, verse 17. Let me pray about when I open up the Bible. I would like you to join me. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. And I pray that you would right now, still the minds of the people who are here and allow them to focus simply on you and your word. Open their hearts, open their ears to hear the gentle whisper that you have for them. Let any word that is simply of me or of mine to be rendered useless, but allow you and your Holy Spirit to speak so freely. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So Jesus goes in verse 17. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. You see, here is somebody that Jesus loves in Lazarus. And he's dying, and now he's dead. People say to me, aren't you angry at God? Look what he's done to your little boy. Aren't you angry? And many of us have been angry at God in our time, but I will tell you this, even half the Psalms written by David, angry at God, I find it to be, and I'm sorry, a waste of time. How many of you have fought with God and won? I'm just too much of a pragmatist to be angry at God. Plus, Jesus himself, the Son of God, who, let's just be honest, didn't exactly have the peaches and cream life when he was here on earth. Okay? God's going to let his son experience what he did. Who am I to expect different treatment? And Jesus himself says in John 16, 33, in this world you will have trouble. Well, guess what, folks? If you haven't figured it out by now, trouble's coming. And I know it, and you know it. It's already here. It's already in your life. Maybe you've gotten through some of it. Maybe you haven't. You didn't earn it. You're not being punished. Okay? And as we look here, Martha goes out, Mary stays home. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's look a little further. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister. This is verse 28. Called her sister Mary aside. She said, the teacher's here and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. You see, one went, one didn't. But Jesus loves them both. And just as the bad things that come in our life are not contingent upon our performance for God, neither is his love for us contingent upon our performance for him. Don't beat yourself up. Yeah, try to get rid of the sin. Be more like him, but don't act like it's all about you. It's all about the loving God who created you. So Martha goes, Mary stays home, they end up at the same place. Look at verse 31. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, doing what? Comforting her, where? In her house, spending time with her, loving her. Notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. They got it. They were going to go be with her, comfort her, keep her from what? Feeling alone. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Can I tell you this? Whether God chooses to heal Trey or not, he is with me. When I laugh when Trey does something unbelievably silly, he smiles with me. When I am sad in those moments where we go, this is so real, he's with us. You see that? He's with you no matter what. And every step of the way, when you are sad and you feel lonely, he's saying, I'm right here. And he's preparing somebody to send them to you to help you through these times. And I will tell you this, as we transition in this sermon, he may also be saying to you, there are those who are lonely in your world, and you and I are going to go love them. As we look here, it says, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And what? Jesus wept. You want to know how do you love somebody? How do you keep them from being alone? You look to Romans 12:15. And it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And Jesus does it perfectly here. He knows he's going to heal them. Heal him. He said it well before he ever got there. And he has a reason for doing it, to give God the glory. But yet in the moment, he sees them sad. He sees them crying. And so he cries with them. He knows what he's going to do in my life. He knows what he's going to do with Trey's. But he is with me. And he is with you. As we have gone through this period, we have seen God do amazing, amazing things. I've said it before. Before Trey was diagnosed, it wasn't as if my life was all sunshine and roses. It's been a rough stretch for us. But I will tell you this. Going through this, going through these trials and tribulations, it could make us bitter, but we chose not to go that way because we were open and we were honest and we were vulnerable. But instead, it has increased our capacity to love. In August, we had a surgery with Trey and he almost died. Things just went horribly wrong. And the next day, his surgeon came in and he was a shell of the confident man who went into that surgery. This is a man who was there and was the one that almost caused our son to perish. And when he walked in and I saw his face, I almost cried for him. My heart broke for him and for what he was going through. I have an aunt. Her name is Rosella. She's 95 years old. She's lost just about everybody in her life. She's already lost one of her own children. She's lost grandchildren. And I said to her, Rosella, people say to me, I couldn't do what you've done. I could never get through what you get through, what you've gone through. And Rosella looked at me and she said, sure you can. You just do. This woman had seen so much, she knows. And I will tell you this. There is a blessing to some of our senior citizens and the relationship that we can have with them because you know what? They've seen it. They've lived it, and they've known that you can make it through. You will be used by God to love others. And so I ask you, who is God calling you to love? Who is God calling you to not let them be alone anymore? There's a name that has popped up into your head. I'm not a prophet. Nope, I just know my Holy Spirit. And I know that he's working in your heart. You don't need a theology degree. You don't need apologetics 101. You just need to know that God loves that person. And that he's going to work in you. He's going to work in your heart. You read scripture, it says, I want to know Christ and share in the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, you've suffered. And God has begun to give you his heart. You look at someone who's suffering and alone, and you say, God, how do you feel for this person right now? And then you know what will happen? Your eyes will well up, and you will look at them right in the eye, and if you can even speak, you'll simply say, I'm so sorry. And that's all you'll have to do. Sometimes you do this, and that person will not feel alone. We get so many comments on our Facebook. So often we do get lots of scripture, and that's okay. And we get attaboys, and it'll be okays. But every once in a while, someone will write, "Jay, as I type this, having read your post, tears are running down my face." And it is those times where I then tear and I say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You don't have to be alone. And there's somebody in your world who needs to not be alone. Won't you go love them? I will leave you with a song that is near and dear to my heart. The verses are unbelievably, specifically touching to Rachel and myself. But the choruses certainly apply to all of us, whether you feel alone or God is calling you to go help somebody else not be alone. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that we can come to you in prayer, that on my worst day since Trey was diagnosed, that I can come to you because I know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, my heart is burdened by those who are wandering in darkness, who don't begin to have an understanding of who you are. Could you please send me? Could you please send somebody here into their world, not to beat them over the head with your most holy of words, not to shame them, not to do anything other than to put their arms around them and say, there is a God who loves you, and it is through me that you will feel that love. Figuratively, not literally, of course, Lord. Help us to see those who are hurting and have the time to stop and love them as you would if you were walking and talking on this earth to this day. We made a deal when you died that we would live for you because you died for me. Well, that's what you would be doing. So help us to do that, Father God. Show us the people. And Lord, if there's someone here today who says, I've never felt more alone, Lord God, let someone go to them before this service is over. Put their hand on their shoulder, give them a bump with an elbow, or maybe a warm embrace, and let them know how loved they are. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in the great and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to the Riverside Community Church podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.riversideconnect.org.